This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker, who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a Victory Monday. Jake, did that occur to you?
That's right.
We don't get the day off on Victory Mondays, though. What's the deal, these NFL guys taking Victory Mondays? Welcome in to a Victory Monday edition of the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. First NCAA tournament win ever. Now we're going to the Sweet 16. One of the most epic round of 32 matchups I've ever seen. Four versus five, literally a millimeter away from the bad guys going on to play the other even worse guys in Iowa on Thursday. We're playing Iowa, Jake. How excited are you about this? You wanted, what was it, Iowa and Texas to play for the national title in football?
No. Iowa, Minnesota.
Yeah, but, well, that's not much better. But Iowa, Texas sounds worse, so I always start off there. You ever notice I make you correct me on that one?
Yep, I did notice that one.
Well, all right, so we're going to get into Nebraska versus Iowa. How badly does Nebraska need to win this game? Is that, okay, I have thoughts. Obviously, I have thoughts. That's why it's the headline of the show. That's why I sent it to you. You're going to have thoughts, I assume. Or you're just going to grunt into the microphone and I'll grunt back and that'll be the show. But hopefully some words come out at some point. How badly does Nebraska need to beat Iowa? I want to know what the people out there think. Jake, what is that number that never changes?
402-464-5685.
Text in and let us know. It's the third time we're going to play these jokers in our past 10 games. We hadn't played them in like over 30 games going back to last year. Now we got to see them like one out of every three games. How big of a game is this Sweet 16 game versus Nebraska and Iowa in college basketball? Now, everyone's taking off on Tuesday to head down to, well, everyone from the university, the team and coaches and staff and uniform people. Kent Pavelka, the legend himself, I had the honor of speaking with him this morning. He went to the barber. Immediately, I was like, beard talk. Now, he doesn't have one, but I've got a beard. I have people come up to me, don't even know me, beard looks great. Ah, appreciate it, beard looks great. Nobody's had the guts to come up to me and say, that thing sucks, it's ugly, you should shave it, and the thing that's attached to it. You should get rid of it all, but nobody said that to me. What's your honest evaluation at this point of the beard? What grade would you give? You can text that in on the text line as well. All right, so Nebraska, Iowa. And then the main topic of today's show, the people's beard. How does it look? Give me an honest grade, Jake. Somewhere between an A plus and an A minus. What do you rank it?
There's only one place to go, an A, I guess. But I love it. I'm a strong proponent of the people's beard. I'm a little bit jealous, Stephen. I think it's coming in a little bit fuller than mine. So,
well, I think I mentioned, because we were right before you commented on the beard right before we went on air. I was like, oh, we should talk about the beard. Haven't talked about it in a while. I was like, "What? How did I phrase it? Because I won't get it that well again. I said something to the effect of, it's not as gray as I thought it would be, but it's a little more gray than I hoped it would be. So it's somewhere right in the middle. Isn't that kind of what I said?
Yeah.
All right. Your thoughts, Nebraska, Iowa. How big is this Sweet 16 basketball game? Also, the people's beard, how's it looking? Okay, fair question. Because I've trimmed it once, and they trimmed it quite a bit, but it's been a while. It's been 3-4 weeks. Do you think I should keep letting it grow, or is it time to trim it up again? What are your honest thoughts here, Jay? Because you maintain a beard all the time, but yours is a little bit closer to the chin than mine, so you like yours a little bit more, you know, neatly woven, shall we say. But what are your thoughts on mine? Does it need to be taken in, or should I just wait a week or two?
You should wait. You should see how it keeps developing, I think. Mine, I got like these calyx in, so these different, you know, the beard starts going different ways. So I don't know if you have that problem, but I've grown it up before. It's fun to have a beard. It's just hard.
You have calyx in your beard?
Yeah.
I've never heard of such a thing. I'm not a beard expert or aficionado in any way. So maybe everybody knows about this but me. Where are your calyx in your beard? I've never heard of such a thing.
Oh, well, I guess maybe it's not even labeled that. I'm not necessarily sure, but my beard starts going different ways and separate, you know, in different feelings. I can feel where it turns.
So my entire life, I've always had three major calyx. One right here off to the right in the front. Okay, I'm pointing. If you can't see me, I'm pointing to the front right of where, you know, my hair used to be. It's not quite where it was anyway. It's a little farther back now. But here, All right. One off to the left. The one off to the right was the big one. It was the pain. You know, when I'm like 13, 14, and I'm like standing in the mirror and the hair's got to be perfect. You know, it's like the one that was the biggest pain. There's a little teeny tiny one to the left. It just looks like little waves. And then there was a rooster. What's that? Little Rascals. What's the kid's name with the hair?
Alfalfa?
Alfalfa. It wasn't quite like that, but it was definitely a gigantic rooster in the back right. Now, my back left was the only thing that ever worked with me. As I got older, the calyx aren't as bad. Like, the one in the back doesn't stick up as much, so I don't have to alfalfa anything or worry about it. The front left still looks like waves. I think it's I changed how I do my hair. I used to part my hair on the right, okay? Then I used to part it down the middle, which is terrible because I'm tall and I have a long, skinny face, and it just makes it look even worse, okay? So then I just got to the point at one point where I was like, I really don't care. I'm just going to keep it short and comb it forward. So it just goes forward now, and then I kind of flip up the front because I don't want to look like – I don't personally want to have bangs. Other people can if they want. So I think it covers up the calyx a little bit. I don't think I have any in the beard. I did get up this morning, and it was going a few different directions, but I just kind of like put a bunch of water on it, got out the brush, and 90 seconds later, I was out the door. If this thing's going to require more than 90 seconds of attention, I'm going to make changes. I'm just – I have vested. I'm invested at this point in it, but the commitment level is not – I can be invested but not highly committed at the same time. So if this thing becomes work, changes will be made. How deep those changes are, I don't know. But the investment level is there so that I know it's at least going to stay for a while.
I just love the fact that you're combing your beard in the morning. That sounds good.
Technically, it's a brush, but yeah, that works.
Brush, it works. Brush,
it's my wife's brush. She does all a girl's hair with it, so it's just sitting there on the counter. I grab it, and it works perfect. Again, if it takes more than 90 seconds, some changes will be made. But we're within that 90-second range right now. Anything off the text line before we dive into more serious matters here?
Bill and Bennett says, keep the beard, Adam. 7439 says, shave it, Adam. So we got different thoughts there on the
all beard. Right.
Husker Demon says, Iowa sucks. Bubba says, bleep Iowa. Kent says, this game will mean more than to Nebraska than it will for Iowa. That I can't read that one. Sorry.
Why not?
Well, it's just I can't write. Okay, I'll try again. This game will mean more than Nebraska than it will Iowa. That will be the difference in a win. There we go.
Oh, I thought there was going to be a bunch of four-letter words. Okay.
It's just difficult to read.
So he's saying it's going to mean more to Nebraska, and that's why we're going to win? That's going to be the difference? Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I can go with that logic. Anything else?
Big Ty says, why does it always have to come down to Iowa? They better win. I don't want to hear from them all year.
I think a lot of people feel that way. Now, I have a similar train of thought. I've also got a counterpoint train of thought. Anything else real quick?
Just Joe Horasek on YouTube says, one beard, everyone knows the rules, 9.7 out of 10. And he also says, go handlebar mustache.
Oh, I'm just not a mustache guy. I'm sorry.
It's not going to happen.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not a mustache guy. I've had, what is it, the Fu Manchu. Then in high school, I just had the thing on the chin. I forget what that's called.
Oh, yeah.
That was the thing.
Goatee, Mary.
And then obviously the full beard. I can honestly say I've never had a mustache. It's just not personally my thing. I will probably never have a mustache. Have you ever tried just the stash?
I have. It doesn't look good either.
Jake, I mean, always look good.
I appreciate
always.
It. Yeah, I appreciate it. But this looks terrible. In this case, just a mustache is not my thing.
All right, that's okay. Self-awareness. All right, if that's your opinion, then so be it. All right, as far as Nebraska and Iowa. There, the instant it became Iowa, not Florida, like this was going to be a big game either way. This was going to be, I mean, you could say Vanderbilt, Troy, maybe the most watched Nebraska basketball game of all time. This is probably going to be the most watched Nebraska basketball game of all time. It's the first Sweet 16 game. We've got a few days to build up to it now. There's some build up to it. With the Vanderbilt game, I mean, it wasn't without eyeballs, but when you got 48 hours versus now you've got like 3-4 days to build up to it, and then it's Iowa. Had it been Florida, all those things still would have been true. It would have been, I still maintain Troy. I'm going to backtrack a little. I think Troy was actually a bigger game because we had to win that game because that was that first NCAA tournament game. We had to get off the monkey off our backs. I've said all year when we're like top five, top 10, top 15, I was like, if we don't win that first NCAA tournament game, I don't want to say it's not going to matter, but it's not going to matter. You know what I mean? So that was the biggest game. Now, every game going forward is going to feel like a bigger game. It's easy to become a prisoner of the moment. Like when we're playing Minnesota in the middle of the football season, feels like the Super Bowl. Then you go on to the next week and you play whoever. It's Iowa, whoever you play. Every week feels like the Super Bowl. If you step out outside the prisoner of the moment syndrome, which is easy to get sucked into, it happens to me as well. I will maintain Troy was the single biggest, and it helps that we blew them out. Had it come down to the wire, maybe we view it differently. It's the single biggest basketball game in the history of Nebraska basketball's program. Now, you can argue that wins going forward feel differently. They have more meaning. You get to the Sweet 16, if we get to the Elite Eight, or whatever the case may be. That would have all been true had it been Florida. I think two things changed when it became Iowa. I think the game even means more if you win it, because it's the tiebreaker. We're 1-1 versus each other. This is the tiebreaker. This is what determines if essentially you're a top 10 basketball team in the country. If you're fighting to play in the Elite Eight, means you're one of the eight best teams in the country, in theory. I still don't think the NCAA tournament is the best way to crown a champion, but it's the most entertaining way. So that would have all been true, all still been true. I would put a little bit more angst on it. I think the biggest thing that changed, if we had played Florida, great game, and we lose, Husker fans would have welcomed them back, and they should do it either way. Back at the airport, just like they did last weekend, and it would have been, everyone would have been there, standing ovation, and it would have been the greatest season of basketball history. I think now, since it's Iowa, if we lose, it's still the greatest season of Nebraska basketball history. I don't think any of that changes, but I think the way a loss could potentially be viewed is different because it's Iowa. Also, it's a team you know. Like, we're favored by 3.5 to beat Iowa. We definitely would have been a dog to Florida. So now you're the favorite. Now it's your rival. Now if you don't get the win, you get the loss. I think it's viewed differently than had we played Florida. I'll be honest with you. Florida could have beat us by 20 had we played them. And a one-point loss to Iowa is going to make people madder.
We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.
So that's one point of view. It's a very popular point of view. I completely understand that point of view. I get it, and this game means more to me as well than had we played Florida, this game versus Iowa. The one thing I will push back on is I still maintain Nebraska basketball is playing with house money. They have done three things. They've actually done about five or six things that have never been done before in Nebraska basketball's history. They've won 28 games, which is more than they'd ever won at 26. They won a first NCAA tournament game. They won a second NCAA tournament game. They had the biggest lead they've ever had in an NCAA tournament game versus Troy. They made more 3-point. I mean, they've done all these things. To me, yes, it's Iowa. And so if we win, I will probably shoot off fireworks in my backyard. If we lose, I will probably break the TV. But give me about 30 minutes, and I'm going to be in the same spot I would have been. Obviously, if we beat Florida, beat Iowa, that's a different conversation. Had we lost to Florida in the aspect of this is the single greatest team Nebraska basketball has ever had, the most entertaining season. I am so proud of this team. I love the way that they play, how they play, how they approach things, the discipline, the physicality, the toughness. The way they bounce back, the way they make in-game adjustments, how they play, on top of the fact that they're playing really good basketball, makes me incredibly proud as well. So everything that I said about had we played Florida versus Iowa holds true. I understand there's more angst and more, I'm just going to say it, animosity between us and Iowa, and I get all that. But this team's still playing in the Sweet 16, something that, with a very real chance to go beyond that. But I don't want it to get lost in the scope of things if somehow the bad guys score more points on Thursday. It's going to hurt more. I get that. But take a little bit of time after that and reflect on what they've done. And I still think this team is playing with house money, in my humble opinion. And I don't want that to get lost, the incredible season, regardless of the outcome, versus that despicable team from the state of Iowa on Thursday. And if we win, everything I just said is null and void. And we're talking about, ooh, are we playing Illinois? Or are we playing Houston in the Elite Eight? And how does that matchup look? And who are we playing? And what's that look like? And the fact that we will have shut the mouths of those Iowa folks, because we will have eliminated them from the NCAA tournament. We have taken 2 of 3 from them on the basketball season and everything else. That feeling would be just phenomenally phenomenal. But regardless of how that game goes, I don't want the scope of what Nebraska basketball has accomplished as a whole this year to ever get lost in any way, shape, or form. What are your thoughts on all that, Jake?
Yeah, no, I agree with you for the most part, especially, you know, kind of thinking about playing with house money. It's kind of interesting to, the way you that people can view it is like, is, you know, is Nebraska just happy to be here? Is Iowa just happy to be here, obviously, as a 9 seed? So, I mean, there's all sorts of thoughts that go into it. My reaction, of course, if they lost would be same to one of the texters earlier. It's like, why is it always Iowa, right? I mean, it just seems like they're always here to spoil whatever the latest Nebraska season is. And so, but that's great. This is what I love is you need this sort of stuff for to build rivalries, right? And certainly there will be that. We remember the bleep Price Sanford chance from the Iowa fans. Mm. Second game at Nebraska came down to overtime. I mean, this has been a very heated rivalry already this year. And on the day that Greg McDermott retires from Creighton, you might kind of be seeing a passing of the torch this week where who's the biggest rivalry for Nebraska moving forward. Because for Iowa, it's also interesting. You have to look at it from their perspective. They haven't been to the Sweet 16 since 1999. They went through 15 years, I believe it was, with Fran McCaffrey, had Luka Garza, Keegan Murray. I mean, they had National Player of the Years, still couldn't get to the Sweet 16. First year of Ben McCollum, and they're there. So there's a huge momentum for them. Their biggest win of the season before beating Florida was Nebraska, right, in the regular season. So there's just so much that to kind of look at there. I think in like the grand scope of things, if you look at it one way or the other, the house money situation, this is the greatest season in Nebraska basketball history. We're gonna celebrate it, all that sort of stuff from years to come. But in that rivalry, you'll never hear the end of it from Iowa fans, just like it's already hard to argue with them anything coming to football. At least we would have something to argue about the latest stakes for men's basketball getting to the Elite Eight. And then it's also about a little bit transitioning for Nebraska moving forward is, you know, what is your best opportunity? Like, what is the ceiling for Nebraska basketball now? And again, that difference from just happy to be here to, hey, you know what? There's a very real possibility Nebraska is going to be in the Final Four, or their chance to get to the Final Four will have two teams in front of them that they've already beat. And so when you think about the possibilities here, Nebraska is the 4 seed. They're the only one getting a 9 seed in the tournament. All the other 1 seeds have moved on. So there's a big, you know, I know it's like house money, but there's a big probability moving forward that Nebraska's in these tournaments more often. We might look back if they lose this one and say, man, that was a really good opportunity against a 9 seed that you know you could beat.
Is this the same guy that thinks going to back-to-back bowl games was a success in football? How often do you move the goalpost, my friend? I'm just curious. Is that you can set an alarm for 2 a.m. and you do it when nobody's looking? I'm just curious.
I wouldn't say a success, but it's more successful than it has been.
All right. I didn't mean to completely come out of left field off the top rope with that elbow on you. I was just like, I completely get what you're saying. It's mostly because it's Iowa. And when you think about the path to getting to the Elite Eight, to potentially getting to the Final Four, you make a great point. The only 4 seed playing a non-1 seed is us. And it's Iowa. They have 12 losses on the year. Now, one of their 23 wins was against us. One of their 12 losses was against us. If we get by Iowa, possibly play Illinois, a team that's beaten us that we have beaten. We beat them on their home court. They beat us on our home court. Or Houston. Kelvin Sampson's a heck of a basketball coach down there in Houston, by the way. Did you know? Because I've been maintaining for a long time the Big 12 needs to go after all the major basketball schools that are not in the Big 10 and ACC and try to get them in the Big 12. Like, I'm talking Duke. I'm talking all these other schools. So the Big Ten, in as far as Sweet 16, has six of the 16 Sweet 16 teams. The SEC has four. The Big 12 has three. Like, the Big 12 is right there with the two major conferences. And it almost appears, outside of winning a national title, it almost kind of appears like the Big Ten has not only taken over in football, but possibly in basketball as the best basketball conference. Now, the biggest gap in the resume is we haven't had a national champion in far too long. But as an overall whole, when you look top to bottom, it's hard to argue that the Big Ten isn't the best basketball conference, at least this season in the country. Now, we'll see how the rest of these games play out. Obviously, a lot of that's going to factor in. You look at Nebraska versus Iowa. If we get past Iowa, again, it sets up about as well as it's ever going to set up for a potential Final Four run. So to be clear, I'm not predicting Final Four. I'm not predicting a loss to Iowa. Before the end of today's show, I'll give my prediction to the Nebraska-Iowa game. How's that sound? Does that sound fair?
That sounds fair.
But as far as if we lose to Iowa, yes, they're never going to shut their blowholes. I understand that. Okay. I just don't want what's been accomplished this season to get lost in the fold. At the same time, when you listen to all these preseason college football shows, and they just talk about how brutal Ohio State's schedule is and how Penn State isn't anywhere near as good of a team, but they're Ohio State's over-under win total is 9.5. Penn State's 9.5. Why? Because Penn State has the easiest schedule in the Big Ten. Ohio State might have the toughest schedule in the country. When you start talking about how schedules can affect win-loss totals, you look at Nebraska's potential path to a Final Four of any team left in the tournament, it sets up as nicely for them as any other team left in the tournament, the teams they could potentially play that are left. Now, I'm not saying Iowa's a pushover. Florida exponentially had the size and height advantage, but Iowa played like the bigger team. Houston, Illinois, two very good teams, top 10, top five teams. Maybe they go on a run, win the national title. They're both very, very capable. But when you look at the path, it sets up as nicely potentially for Nebraska as any other team left in the country that isn't already like a number one or two seed. I think as far as Iowa, had it been Florida, it would have been a huge game. A win would have been ginormous. A loss would have been, hey, what a heck of a season. And it would have been remembered for a long time. Hopefully we're back here multiple years and this becomes one of the seasons or the first of many seasons where this happens. Because it's Iowa, it's going to be viewed a little differently for multiple reasons, and they're all fair. I still think they're playing at least a little bit with house money. It's why when you look at the full football program and what's been accomplished versus what is being accomplished, the reaction is different. The expectations are different. The celebration for winning a first NCAA tournament game, it literally means you're one of the 32 best teams in the country. That hadn't happened in Nebraska before. Last year, we won the crown, which I guess meant we were the 69th best team in the country. Should we have played it off with the NIT tournament champion and decided who was the 69th best team last year? I don't know. What do you think of that, Jake?
Could have.
And you're like, that's the stupidest idea I've ever heard. But my point is the leap and jump in improvement is what I'm talking about. And that's kind of, you know, what fans are hoping to see in football. When it comes to Nebraska versus Iowa, it's going to be a fun game to watch. I will say this. Get that win versus Iowa. Oh, man. It gets even more monkeys off our back. And then maybe that translates into other sports. But I will say this. Softball, we own them. Baseball, we've had great success. Own them. Volleyball, not only have they not beaten us, they haven't even won a set in Lord knows how many years. So when it comes to why is it always Iowa, it's really why is it always Iowa in one or two sports. It's not every sport, to be fair. I love the building of the rivalry, though. We lost one of the greatest rivals and rivalries in the history of college football sports when we went to the Big 12 and didn't play Oklahoma every year. Colorado was what it was. There were some good games. It was more them hating us and us being like, okay, little brother, you're here again, you know. And they beat us sometimes, to be fair. But it wasn't the same. When we joined the Big 10 and Iowa became our designated rival, it was... Geographically, it made sense. There just wasn't a lot of history there. Well, now there's some history. And now there's some legit bad blood. And I'm just going to say it. Hate between rivals is awesome. Sports hate between rivals is awesome. It enhances everything. And I feel like Nebraska and Iowa are enhancing their rivalry with legit sports beef and sports hate. I will say this. I got a kick out of Iowa's coach at halftime because they had that little melee between Iowa and Florida. What did he say? I'm not going to quote him, but he said something to the effect of, yeah, we're out there playing basketball and people started getting sensitive. And I love that. He called Florida sensitive in the middle of his halftime interview. I thought that was great. You got anything before we go to break, Jake?
No, I did like that. It is funny. I've seen that from a few texts of the text line too. There's definitely at least a respect level for Ben McCollum and what he's doing there at Iowa. It's tough because we have to hate him, but I think there's at least respect there for him.
I will say the Nebraska versus Iowa basketball rivalry, they're like, even the comments online that I've seen and people respond to some of the stuff that I put out, there's only one comment I've seen, F Nebraska. You know, everything else was pretty much like, let the best team win or whatever. Like, it wasn't like with the football teams where it gets very, there's a lot of animosity there. With the basketball, there's animosity, but there's a certain level of respect there, which the one thing about Nebraska, Oklahoma for years was it was a big rivalry, but there was a level of respect there. So I feel like that might be a little bit different between the two basketball and football programs. I know we got to go to break, but what are your final thoughts on that before we head to break?
Well, I mean, that would be a good point, especially for online. But again, they literally were chanting bleep Bryce Sanford.
Well, so that's true.
I don't have a whole that's lot. That's a fair point. I do think there's some animosity still there.
Well, there's some. They were also chanting F Nebraska at the end of that first game,
right,
too.
Right,
well,
yeah.
I may have had to mute my TV with the 8-year-old in my lap. But yeah, I definitely heard that. All right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.